Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 18th of, it's already halfway through March.
Yep. It's the year is zipping by.
And we haven't made any money.
Speak for yourself.
Our bogus. I'm talking about our stocks.
It's all about the experience.
No, but I think it's turning around.
Oh, yeah. Wait to see actually, we have some good looking numbers.
Yep.
I was looking at them a moment ago and I got some good ideas for today's stock picks of the week. Because, you know, the big V is back.
Yeah. What's that? Is that referring to one of the basketball coaches?
Or do you ever see the Jim Valvano cut down the net speech?
I think probably.
Oh, that was great. You know,
Jimmy V.
No, the Big V, for those of you in the Georgia Atlanta area, of course, is the Big Varsity, which is a wonderful drive-in slash hamburger late night kind of joint. But the Big V that I'm talking about here is the market. Kind of go down for a few days, you sink in, you go down, takes maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then in a day or so, bing, like nothing.
Yeah, apparently the Russian market's up too.
Yeah, Russian market because, you know, we were all very concerned. See, the whole idea of Russia invading slash taking over Crimea and Ukraine, or Ukraine, as you say, was very disturbing until they actually did it and they were all happy.
Well, they didn't move into Ukraine, but they did get some action in Crimea, which has always been traditionally theirs. I don't understand why we care about this as Americans. I mean, it's on the other side of the globe. It's right next to Europe. The Europeans should, if they have any problems, they should deal with it. Why? What's it got to do with us?
I think it's the communist creep that we're worried about. Back to the Cold War concept, Russia and the U.S. having some controversy.
I'd worry about it if I saw better evidence of it.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, you know.
Yeah, really?
Right. Well, it's the sanctions, the bogus sanctions. You know, we're all talk.
It's like the United States taking over Tijuana.
That'd be great. How great would that be?
I don't know about that.
Or maybe it would be like, or it would be if Rhode Island wasn't a part of the United States, and all of a sudden we said, you know what? And there was a vote that said that they wanted to be part for some reason. But I guess the point is that because the crisis is over, it took, how long did it take? A week?
Couple weeks.
Maybe a couple weeks. Big crisis. Everything's compressed.
Actually, I think it was even longer than that because there was all those riots and fighting in the streets for at least a week or two.
Yeah, and you know, at this point, these crises are getting shorter and shorter lived. The next recession, depression should be about a week and a half long at this rate. You know, everybody's going to be all, you know, you'll see all this thing happen, then it's all over.
Well, that would be fine.
Doesn't happen that way, unfortunately. There's a lot of things that are happening in the news. We see that finally, blowhard government with their finger pointing and their, you know, holding their letter in their pocket about the potential for calling China currency manipulators and all the things that we've done over the years about just being gigantic blowhards is once again heating up. You know, we have the situation with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now we have high frequency trading is in the spotlight as New York's attorney general announces a new crackdown on vendors in the business. What does that mean? Who knows? You know, high frequency trading clearly.
Yeah, what does it mean? Oh, it doesn't mean anything. Well, everyone does it their own way.
Well, I think what they're talking about is the concept of the high frequency traders that have the machines that are very close to the exchanges in order to get the trading information much quicker and to trade ahead of individuals and to pretty much just scalp, just not even pennies, less than pennies, partial off of each and every trade and just pretty much just line their pockets.
Well, it's okay.
I'm just telling you what's going on.
It's just the newest version of lining your pockets that they've always done on the floor.
Right, but now what's happening is that it's done by computers, and that's why the markets do what they do with the ridiculous moves that you see. And
times change.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They threw out the market makers that were the middleman that were making quarters as their spiff for trading, and now it's down to pennies. And when you get it down to pennies, this is because we took out the big spreads. What has happened is that due to the fact that there are no longer profitable spreads available for market makers, You had to bring in computers to do the trading. And as such, you get this kind of situation that goes on with the high frequency trading.
Yeah. You, instead of making the quarter, like you said, you do 20 times more business at a penny a pop.
Right. And what you do is
so the numbers go skyrocketing. It screws everything up.
Right. And it is just as detrimental to the end user, you know, to the end investor.
The end investor is always screwed.
Yeah. No matter what you do. But the system, you know, seems to always work well for the big guys. And look what's going on right now. We see that Quiznos is the latest company that is going to be filing chapter something or other. I don't know if it's going to be 7 or 11. I guess it's going to be 11. And they're going to be looking to, they're basically going to look to a reorg that would cut their debt by $400 million. See, companies don't actually go bankrupt anymore and out of business. What they do is they do some kind of a legal maneuver that allows them
to stiff a bunch of their the people that sold them stuff,
right? And they basically get to discharge a chunk of debt. The funny thing is that I would bet you that if Quiznos goes through all this, and then they come out of it and somehow reappear, and they offer debt again, do you know that would be gobbled up?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because this time it must be safer because they've already gone through it once.
And you know, the funny thing is, all the things that have happened over the past, I mean, you got to wait a week or two until you give a little breathing time until people forget about the fact that you just had this bankruptcy. You know, we see that the same thing is going on that went on back in 2006, 2007 with the securitization, which is a big problem. I believe it's in France and Spain now too. But Spain is securitizing not only the debt of mortgages, and it's being done by the government. They're initiating this. But they're securitizing and creating a pool of assets of the bad debt on the books of banks to be sold to individual investors.
Wow.
I mean, this is like going to a restaurant, and when they trim all the fat off of the meat, serving it to their patrons.
Yeah, the fat.
Right. All the crap.
Or just the stuff they would have normally thrown out.
Right. And this is, do we have something for you? We have a combination dinner. And this is, you really would like this.
It's a good deal, though.
Yeah, exactly. You say it to you, sell it to you for a little bit lower and all that, and they're just laughing. So we're seeing that this kind of thing is going on again, and it's being embraced by governments. Of course it would. Why not try to get your debt off the books and then peddle it to investors as, hey, this is bad debt, but we know, it's a higher yield, and there's an opportunity to make some decent money. And with the outcry to get yield in the search and the incredible the stampede, looking for some kind of yield because interest rates are so low, why not? That's what's happening. A couple of interesting things that have happened in the technology world. Microsoft, the shares closed the highest since 2000.
Yeah, yeah. It's about time we got out of the mess.
Yep, when they announced that they are going to be unveiling an iPad version of its Office software suite, which is interesting because they talked about this for a while, and they think this is going to generate billions of dollars in revenue. I have some real interesting thoughts on this. I mean, first of all, if one of the reasons that people were for a long time not going to maybe switch over to an iPad or an Apple or an iPhone is because they want to make sure they had their Office and their Microsoft, and they waited for the Microsoft devices like the Surface to come out. What's the point now of having a Surface when you can have an iPad? So much easier to use.
Well, that's a question you're going to have to ask them.
Yep. And I have been painfully...
You could have done this. You could have interpreted, if the stock had gone down, they would have taken the same information and say, this is now going to kill Surface sales, and right, the stock goes down.
Right. So for whatever reason, they need to they pump the stock up, and this has kind of been an ongoing process as we find that there's some retirement in the upper ends of like Ballmer, and there's going to be some change at the company in terms of what they're doing. But, I got to tell you something. I've been telling you about this whole thing that I'm trying to find a laptop of Windows that I like, and I'm trying to really become comfortable with the whole idea of the tablet version or the Windows 8 version of Windows, whereas it has the live tiles and all this stuff. And I'm really trying to use this. There are so many problems. Like, for example, their calendar. Well, Google screwed them a little bit and stopped the whole synchronization of availability with their Exchange and all that. So now you can do something called an ICS sync. You know, so you get the output from G Calendar, the Google Calendar, and you can put it anywhere you want. And it should show up on another calendar, right? Because it's a standardized protocol, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't work. I tried it, and I looked at it today. I looked at my calendar after I put it together on Saturday, and the same information was there from Saturday. Now, I don't understand why Outlook...
Did you hit the sync button?
You don't have to sync. It automatically syncs. It's stupid.
Oh, you know, that's bogus. It doesn't automatically.
Okay,
you have to tell
I hit the sync button. Okay. And it said last synced Saturday. So I took the calendar out. I put the new calendar in. And I thought, okay, if I delete this ICS and then add it back again, I should be able to get the newest stuff, right? Nope. It was the same information
as
Saturday.
Are you putting it in the right folder?
It's not a folder. It's a little thing. It says add calendar. Add a imported calendar. Do you want to import the file or do you want to synchronize it? I said, I want to synchronize it.
Maybe we should import it first.
Doesn't matter.
Just telling you. If I was customer service. Did you plug it in? Was the computer plugged in?
All I know is I looked at the message boards, and I got to tell you something. This is the difference between a Tesla and a GM or a Microsoft and an Apple. The message boards were something like this. Hey, my ICS system doesn't synchronize. What's going on? And, okay, can you send me a screenshot, from the Microsoft gang? Okay, are you putting it? Yes, okay. Sorry, it's a third-party system. We don't have any control of what happens. What are you talking about? That's their answer on almost every message board. It is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. It's a simple process. ICS, it's just a link to a calendar, and it should just draw it in all the time. Every time you bring up Outlook, it should automatically be updated. Very frustrating. Then there's the IM problem. I'm thinking... What do you have for IM? They used to have they used to have the Instant Messenger program?
Yeah.
Now they don't. Now it's Skype. So yeah, I said, okay, Skype. Okay, I could do that. But you know what? I have other people that I communicate on, for example, on AIM or other particular messaging platforms, right? So,
sure.
So what I want to do is, for example, on my iPad, what I do is I say, okay, well, let's say Google Talk. Yeah, put that there. And okay, put AIM in there and all that. So that if you want to talk to people, you can talk to them with the Messenger program. You can't do that with Skype.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Standalone.
It's a standalone. I mean, talk about a closed universe of information. It's terrible.
Well, we should short Microsoft.
I got to tell you something. I was really surprised. And not only that, I'll give you a crazy thing. So when you're in the tile area, I thought that, hey, how cool would it be right in a little battery icon? Just tell me where I'm at. Because if I'm in that side of the Windows, not the desktop, but in the tile area, I'd like to see what my battery's at. Now, I found a way tonight how to do it. If you swipe a little bit, the little time comes up and stuff and shows you a battery. But I don't want that. I want a little battery icon saying 48%.
Yeah.
So I went to the store figuring, got to be a battery app there, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Nope. Each one of them has one star because it has to do something with the batch file. And not only when you install it, then you have to do something in the... You have to go into... The what's it called there? When you go to the back end of Windows, you go to
I don't know, command line.
Yeah, you got to do command line and to get this to work and to do that and to have it. I'm like, are you kidding me? So you can't get.
Let's face it, this whole platform, this whole Microsoft Windows platform, is not for you.
It's not.
Why are you even playing with
it? It's not for. I don't know. I'm trying because I need to use Windows for certain things, but now I'm starting to think. Then I see this news today. I'm like, the hell with it.
What news?
About Microsoft having Office software.
Oh. Oh, yeah. No, you can just put it on the iPad.
Yeah,
I don't know why, to be honest about it, I don't know why anybody would be using Microsoft Office on an iPad anyway. It's just a reader.
Right. I agree.
Playing Angry Birds and reading a book and watching some television.
I did find something interesting. On my iPhone today, I had only, 300 megabytes available of space on a 32 gig device. And I've deleted all my pictures and I have no music on there and all because I figure I must be just really.
You have a bunch of background tasks running all the time?
No, it's not the task, it's this actual physical space.
Oh, you're talking about the storage space?
Yeah, so I tried to update. It says, no, you need a lot more to update the newest version. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So I went to the area that says general into the settings and usage. I had 8 gigabytes of historical messages. because every time you upload a video or a picture or music,
it saves it.
It saves it. So I went and I just deleted all my, you know, in the message threads.
Sure.
I just deleted all of them. I got like 8.5 gigs back.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
I don't know. People like to keep that stuff. I have no idea why. You can always get it by just asking the government.
Right.
They have all that stuff.
All right. They know all my pictures and what I'm doing. Now, the U.S. is planning to hand over control of the system for assigning website addresses to a non-government entity.
Yes.
This is in
I wrote a column about this that'll run tomorrow in PC Magazine.
Tell us about it.
It's a disaster.
Okay, why? Why is it going to be a disaster? Is it a disaster now or it's going to be a disaster?
It's going to be a disaster eventually.
Why?
Because these guys don't... For one thing, the system's not broken.
It works perfectly, right?
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's not broken at all. It's running fine. Why are we doing this?
This is, my opinion, it's all about the non-invasive, non-snooping government that they want to portray.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. If this thing was never run by the United States, it was run by the Russians or the internet or anybody else, they would have been snooping anyway. The GCHQ out of England has been snooping, and they don't run the internet. How do they do it? It's got nothing to do with it. Snooping's just a poor excuse. The real thing going on here is that people want to take control. They want to, these countries, the countries that were always behind this move, which includes China, Saudi Arabia, Brazil for some unknown reason, South Africa, and the Russians are in and out of this.
Our good internet friends.
And so they, all these people, and they want to turn it over to some United Nations body or some new body. And the idea is to control content. It's kind of, we have never been into that. We've always been, let's leave it wide open, which of course is why the NSA found it easy enough to get into. We leave it wide open, do whatever you want, let the locals take care of the problem. And so we have this golden age of free speech. No, these guys, it's all about content. They want to control content. And once that happens, which is what's going to happen, you're going to forget porn. That's gone. Forget all kinds of stuff.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Oh, no, there will be no porn.
Oh.
But it's not just porn. It's political dissent. It's, the UN's always pushing this idea of hate speech, which can be somebody just bitching about their neighbor or a local crook. Hate speech. That is all gone. It's all gone.
And this is all because, was it ICANN? ICANN, right? I-C-A-N-N?
ICANN, ICANN. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Is Carl involved in that? No.
He should be.
Yeah. So they're going to take that and put it to a non-government entity that would actually make a profitable enterprise out of it. So what does that put like the companies like
ICANN was never a government entity. It's a corporation that was set up by the Commerce Department.
So isn't that who's
they're not part of the government?
Isn't that who's assigning the websites now?
ICANN.
Yeah.
And no, ICANN essentially licenses the ability to assign websites. And they're the ones who control the top-level domains, but their main job is keeping DNS running.
So this is now going to be a profitable enterprise. Is that going to come in between like the GoDaddies and all those companies?
I don't know how the profitable thing is going to work, and I don't think it will be profitable. It's just really about grabbing the internet, getting it resting control of the net outside the United States. So you can block sites and stop people from saying bad things against the king.
Oh, boy. Yep. Well, more government stupidity. Twitter is sinking down about 3% today. I have somebody that I know that owns the stock, which I told him not to. And he asked me, what's going on? What's the news? I said, there's no news. Well, what's the story? Don't you see Twitter as this unbelievable opportunity? I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. You know, I see there's an opportunity there, but he says, it's like a Facebook. I said, no, it's not like a Facebook. And what I did was I opened up my Twitter profile. I said, let me show you my profile. It has my name and everything, you know, a few other, but most stuff is optional there. You don't put much stuff in there, right?
No.
Whereas my profile on, and other people's profile on Facebook is chock full of information. I mean, all sorts of stuff in there. Birthdays, where you're born, what school you went to, right? I see. This is
that's the idea.
Yeah, this is a beautiful place to have advertisers directly target potential customers. Whereas Twitter must have some algorithms of what you're talking about and who your friends are and things like that. It's a much different process. And it's also, if you look at the Twitter page, the only time you're going to get an advertisement is in the stream. There's nothing on the actual page. Whereas advertising is all over the place on Facebook and the potential for advertising. So I still am of the Twitter bah camp.
Yeah, I think that's the right side of the argument.
Mm-hmm. Now, Walmart is, you got to explain to me the wisdom here. Walmart is planning to start buying used games from shoppers at stores in a movie, in a move to kind of go after this, the business of GameStop. So they're going to be buying used video games and I guess doing a resell thing. Now, didn't we find out that wasn't profitable to begin with? And companies like a Blockbuster and all that have gone out of business and it's all about streaming. And I don't know, how's this working? I don't get what they're trying to do.
I think Walmart has a better handle on their customer base, which are all of the type that are not advanced enough to be beyond that model. And they're not as much into streaming, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but if you have video games, you're going to have a video machine. And the whole point is that, you know, these companies like what Adobe has done and many other companies that are out there are going to be all about downloading the information directly to you versus giving out DVDs and all that.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're just a different audience, and I think they, you know, this reminds me of, you can still sell DVDs, and they still sell blank DVDs, and people still use DVDs. But when I talk to all my tech friends, oh, DVDs, you can even buy those anymore? Everything is streaming. No, it's not true. And you're apparently in that camp.
No, I understand that there are many games that have too much data and too much because of the graphics and all that that are not really compatible with a streaming situation or, you know, it takes forever to download. But everything's going in that direction. I'm talking about especially in the future where you're going to have a much higher bandwidth across every, you know, for anybody. And I just don't understand the whole point of buying used video games and then trying to sell them. And what's the markup?
I don't know.
Make a dollar?
I'm going to try. I got some old video games. I'm going to take them over to Walmart and find out.
Yep, good idea. And, you know, all right, now I'm stuck on what I was going to mention. Oh, so you mentioned DVDs. I was in Best Buy the other day. I was in there five times, and which is five times more than I've been there the last 5 years. And because I was buying a computer and returning it and buying another one and returning it and, you know, trying these old different computers out, these laptops as I've been talking about. And there's, you know, that DVD section that is just, there's nobody that goes to. They closed up their music. They used to have in these Best Buys instrument area with microphones and speakers and, you know, you go there if you need something maybe for the podcast and, you know, amps, things like that, and guitars and drums. It's closed. Whole area is closed. They are now looking much more like a flea market. They have they have a Samsung booth there. You know, Samsung's obviously renting space. They have a Microsoft booth.
I haven't been to a Best Buy for at least 2 or 3 years. I'm going to go to one now to see if it's falling apart like that.
Yeah, you should take a look. I mean, they have
a flea market.
They have
they have stolen goods in the corner.
They may, but it's more like a let's see, a Dillard's. You know, how Dillard's rents out has a consignment on the space.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. Now they have a Samsung area. They have an Apple area. They have a Microsoft area. You know, all these little areas that are obviously being paid for as mini stores inside of Best Buy. Hmm. I still think Best Buy is a gigantic short, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Following up on General Motors, man, it keeps on getting worse, doesn't it?
But I think they set this poor Mary Barra up.
I know. You were saying that last week. I mean, she's really taking on the chin here.
Yeah.
She's the patsy.
She's the patsy, but her name's Mary.
Yeah, good point. So that means a lot. And spelled backwards, her last name is Arab. Whatever that means. So the thing is that now they're recalling a lot more, and now there's going to be a much greater investigation into this. I mean, it's funny about this is sad, but we're talking about years of this going on. Now, this isn't just a situation that was isolated.
Reminded of the Pinto.
Oh, yeah. That was ugly.
And by the way, the Toyota got nailed with a multi-billion-dollar settlement to keep them out of jail for their customer service issues.
Was that the unintended acceleration issue?
Yeah, Yeah, pretty much.
Which they proved that wasn't the case, but I guess it was.
Well, I don't know. They ended up busting him for customer service violations of some sort. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is sketchy. I always thought it was partly just some sort of a vendetta against Toyota.
And this is all in the background as Tesla is being banned from selling in New Jersey. You know, have you looked at food prices lately?
Yeah, food prices are, it's interesting. The food prices are spotty up here and there, but not, well, I was just talking about this at the dinner table. Beef is extremely expensive.
Right.
Especially when compared to like free range, grass fed, whatever you want to call it, not slaughterhouse stuff, but really good quality pork. You can get some of the best pork in the world at ridiculously low prices, mm-hmm. and it's delicious.
Right. Well, I've been talking to some people in the business, and they're crying in terms of beef. And
they got a beef.
Yeah, they got a beef with beef. But they say the prices are just so moving up so rapidly this year, and they just can't keep up with it. You know, and they're having a lot of problem with their margins. But also, if you look, I put a little graphic there that kind of looks at the prices of cost of various food items this year. And even though you mentioned that pork was cheap in some regards, look at these numbers. I mean, Arabica coffee is up 71% this year. 2014.
Yeah, well.
Lean hogs up 42%, oats 29%, cocoa 12%, wheat 12%, almost 11.5%. And that's a lot to do with the Russia issue over there. Live cattle up 8% and raw sugar up 4%. I mean, we're talking about a tremendous increase. Now, we saw this once before back in 2011, 2012, and that went when corn prices went through the roof. Remember that? When things were really getting hot with the feed?
Yeah, and then it collapsed.
And then it did collapse. But now it's really rocking. It's really, I mean, tremendous increase. Projected annual food growth price of 2014 is about 3.5%. And it's really significantly affecting things. So I was thinking, what does that mean, and how can we benefit from that? You know, where is the
where's the money to be made?
Where's the money? Where's the beef? Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
Who was that? Wendy's, right?
Yeah, Wednesdays.
Do you remember what are the hamburger places you remember when you were growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, a while back, and so we did have McDonald's, mm-hmm. which has been around forever. There's also Henry's, which is the McDonald's clone. I always love to talk about it in my columns because it was their whole business model was to see where they put a McDonald's and put one around the corner.
Nice. But obviously
it didn't work out.
Doesn't seem that way.
Didn't work out. Well, whatever. And then we had these 19 cent hamburger chains like Bobo's and some of these other ones. And there's like Quickway in Oakland, which is a delicious, cheap, greasy product. Which was a chain of about five large hamburger stands of the old-fashioned style, the 50s style. Mm-hmm. And then there was, I can't remember. There was one, there was a couple in El Cerrito that were some different chain. Brooks, I think, was the name of them. But there were these kinds of, you know, obscure, cheap burger places that I think the closest anything comes to those is In-N-Out Burger.
Mm.
That's the style.
It's we had style. Wetson's. Remember Wetson's?
No, we never had Wetson's out in the West Coast.
Wetson's was, there was McDonald's, Burger King, Wetson's.
That's McDonald's, Burger King, and Wetson's.
Yeah, those are the three ones that and there was also, of course, White Castle. And I had a big debate. I got people, you know,
White Castle and Crystal. You got Crystal.
All the things we talk about on the show.
Castle and Crystal.
What do I get the email on?
Somebody bitching and saying, yeah, White Castle's not as good as Crystal.
Exactly. I get a bunch of them. I got of all the controversial items we talk about.
Yeah,
it's the hamburgers we get the email on.
White Castle and Crystal. Well, you're from the South. You should have taken the side of Crystal.
Yeah, I know. Well, so I was thinking, what companies that are publicly traded are affected by the cost of beef, and particularly because beef is moving up so quickly, even though lean hogs have moved up as well. And you had Smithfield, which was bought by the Chinese. So they're out of the picture there. I was thinking, who's the end processors that would really be seeing the biggest problem? And you got McDonald's possibly, because who knows what they're going to do. They have the dollar menu. You get a hamburger, put a couple more holes in it or something, some more filler. I was thinking about...
It reminds me of the time Burger King used to have these deals. You get two Whoppers for $2 or something like that, or Whopper Juniors or whatever. One day... They did the deal. I remember following because every once in a while, if I'm just starving to death, I'll pick one of those up for a buck or two. And one day, I got the thing and I looked at it. They shrunk it. They shrunk the bun and they shrunk the meat patty.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is like, what the hell? What happened to my? Where's the rest of it?
Right.
And I think that's the old trick. If you notice that with candy bars, you know, there used to be a Three Musketeers bar. It used to be a big candy bar that you could actually divide into three pieces. When it first came out originally, and then as things changed over the years, that they started shrinking it, and jacking up the price. So there's ways of getting around these problems, and I think they always manage. You know, the public puts up with it.
But I was thinking, where won't they put up with it possibly, or where is it much more difficult? Well, when you have a menu and you have something like a filet that's a 12-ounce, or you have a New York strip, whatever. You know, it's a little bit difficult to obviously cut back on that dramatically, or you have to raise the price, right? So I'm thinking of, where is it? Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Possibly going to see some problems.
But doesn't Ruth's Chris only deal with like prime or some of these specialty meats that come from specialty houses that they already pay too much for?
Maybe, but the fact
is... And I think they age their own beef or something.
They may age it, but it still has to be a origination from a cow. So I'm thinking that's an interesting short we may put on the
list. Maybe.
There's other ones too.
Do it.
You wouldn't do it.
I mean, I think that the public will absorb these costs. They'll just put up with it, and I don't think it's going to affect any of these restaurant guys.
But for how long can the public keep on putting up with it until the point that all of a sudden there's
all my life, from what I can tell.
But here's where the problem comes in. I agree with you that long term, that the pricing can be masked through smaller sizing. Or other kinds of things that happens, whether it's hedging, whether it's different, maybe buying from different properties, et cetera. But in the short run, if prices move up too quickly, remember what happened with Chipotle when the price of the materials that they had and the foodstuffs that they had went dramatically higher very quickly. The stock came down like a rocket that was coming down. But it's not an issue of the price creep, it's the trajectory and how fast it moves. And that will hurt. And we're only talking about, in this circumstance, a short through the next period, maybe when earnings come out.
I wouldn't do it, but if you think there's one there, I'd be interested in seeing it.
All right, so we're going to look at Ruth's Chris short. A couple of other questions. I have in bold, in big print, where is the plane? You mentioned that you and Adam had some ideas. The first thing was it never took off. You mentioned that. And there's a couple other things. Now the whole idea is maybe it was hijacked and the pilots and all that. What's the last and the most recent idea that you two have dreamed up?
We haven't done a show that talks about it too much because we're at the point where it's all BS now. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it landed somewhere. I don't know why they can't find it, but I don't think it's crashed because I think they would have found pieces of it by now.
So what was the if that is the case and it landed somewhere, and it landed somewhere purposely or not?
My thinking, although it's a little nutty, I think it went to an airplane chop shop.
And what do they do with the people?
They could just throw them, tell them to get lost. I have no idea. But the chop shop would, we need an engine, wingtips. I don't know. I have no idea. It's just the whole thing is very strange. And we're just going to have to sit back and watch because at this point, it's so much speculation, it's out of control.
So, the perfect thing, unfortunately, would be if you find an area that you could land that had also a very high level of a society that was cannibalistic. You can kind of...
Right, you could drop... It could be a food delivery.
Right, exactly. That's terrible. I can't believe you mentioned these things.
I can't. What can I do?
Oracle misses on their earnings after hours. Stock is down about 5%. We'll see what happens. There was some discussion about, their subscription. They're doing the whole Adobe thing. And remember, Adobe missed and missed and missed and missed. And it was all about, we're on the subscription service now, and you're not really looking at this right. Adobe did come out. In fact, Adobe came out, slipped out their earnings by quote unquote accident about 3:30 p.m. today. It's supposed to be at 4 o'clock or after 4. They beat on both sides. Stock was up a little bit after it came out. And there's some, of course, the conference call, and they seem to have showing, you know, a much better take up on the whole subscription process. But
well, there's not a lot of choices. And this, as time goes by, I mean, Adobe is going to be a slow starter with this because they have a good model, I think. Of all the subscription models I've seen, I like theirs kind of. And it will take full hold probably in another year, after, 'cause it's been a year already. It's going to take a couple years when their new stuff starts to really run away from the old stuff to such an extreme that people have to upgrade, and that means they're going to have to subscribe.
Right. So
right now, you know, they've offered me a subscription and comped, and I've you know, just so I could see what it's like, and I still haven't even taken them up on it because I still use Creative Suite 5.5 on the machine, and I don't really have this overwhelming desire to change. I think I'm not unusual for the casual Adobe user, for the full-time pros that are working in a shop that's an advertising agency and they're the art department. Yeah, they've all moved over. They had to. But I think a lot of people that are, which is a substantial number of users of Adobe products, they're just sitting on the old stuff.
Probably, well, I mean, in the old days when I was to do any kind of an edit on a photo, just to give a little bit more light to it or just some red eye and all
punch
that.
It up.
Yeah, I mean, you use Photoshop and all. These days, you know, if you take pictures, some of the very light programs, like on the iPhone or something like that, I mean, or iPhoto, you just kind of click the enhance button, click the red eye. It just does its thing very nicely.
Yeah, you can get, but if you really want to have some punch it up, you can really, you can't do it with those cheap little guys.
No, I agree.
And if you want to swap somebody's head out, it's a lot easier.
Well, that's probably very important to do, especially when, you know, you may want to, how about eyes? You ever have somebody that has those wandering eyes and you got to replace an eye?
You can make an eyeball to the side, or you can flip the eyeballs upside down. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. SolarCity did beat. This is another Elon Musk company. They're better than expected losses. Company guided lower, though, on the outlook, which is kind of the norm these days, whether they're doing it to manage expectations and bring down the expectations so they could beat next time around or whatever's going on. Stock was down a little bit. It was up a total about 6%, actually, as of about 4:30. That was about even where it closed, and then it kind of came in a little bit 2%. We'll see how this plays. The stock has been moving around in the 70 range. About 71 is the low point of support here. 78, 79 is the high level of if it breaks, it's going to break out nicely, but I would think that you're going to see a little bit of a take back on the recent move that we saw the last several days. So we'll see what happens there. I want to mention the housing market. Now, the NAHB number came out. This is the confidence of builders. Kind of like the consumer confidence, but this is builder confidence. And by the way, last week, consumer confidence was off pretty good. Estimates were for about 81. It came in, I think, 78.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm noticing there's a slowdown in the area around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I determined this for two factors. And this is just purely, but I've noticed it I've been here for so long, the trends are obvious. One of the things is the traffic patterns. When the traffic starts to loosen up and you can actually travel around and get back and forth with a bigger window, the window has opened up a little bit. That's a signal that things are slowing down. The second thing is the boxcars and rail cars that they stack up in storage along the tracks. And I can look down and see an Amtrak thing, and there's a siding, and it was filled with cars recently. And I've never really seen that much of late, and it indicates to me some sort of a slowdown of some sort.
When there's excess of cars, you're talking about that are in storage not being used.
Yeah, they're just sitting there.
Right.
Empty.
Yep, and you're seeing this, I mean, again, markets shrugged it off on Monday. But you're seeing that there is a consistent slowdown occurring. Now, tomorrow is going to be the end of a two-day meeting by the Fed, and they're going to come out with their rate decision, which there is no decision. The decision is going to stay at 0 to 2.25%. But the big unknown still is whether or not they're going to continue the taper. Now, most of the Fed officials have said that, you know, unless we see something dramatic, I mean, just really off the wall where there's a terrible breakdown, beyond, I mean, really bad, they're going to continue with this taper. They're going to continue moving from whatever it is at any current time to $10 billion less per month and pretty much get rid of it entirely by the end of the year. So that's tomorrow at, I guess, about noon or 2 o'clock. I'm not sure what time. Do I have the announcement time? Let's see. Yeah, I have it right here. Let's see. Fed decision. QE piece. This is going to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll see what happens there. We did see that housing starts came in a bit better. Building permits were okay. We're also going to see the end of the week, the initial jobless claims on Thursday with continuing claims. And then the Philly Fed is going to be coming out as well on Thursday in existing home sales as well as a leading index. Nothing on Friday. So there's a bunch of good information to give us a peek at what's going on with the economy. And again, it hasn't been it's just been kind of plodding along. It hasn't been really gangbusters as much as you would think it has been with the recoveries, these V recoveries in the markets. The housing market's been interesting. The NAHB came in light last week, as I mentioned, came in a couple points lighter. And there's some concern about the rise that we saw in not only the mortgage rates, but all the after effects due to the weather. But more importantly, the big season, which is the spring season for buying homes, is some of the home builders are really concerned. But at the same time, in areas like where you live, there is a very low inventory level. And there's a real concern, like, you know, if you want to buy a dream, you know, your dream house, where do you do? Well, we're going back to getting crazy again, where homeowners are actually writing to sellers or houses that they may want to buy and saying, hey, are you interested in selling? As a matter of fact, on Zillow, the app, and on the site, you can actually click and said, make me an offer. There's these make me offer deals going on where people are really not that interested in selling. But hey, come around with the, you know, the right price, I'll sell.
Yeah, it's true. Most people would.
So I think there's a little bit of a craze in some areas, like in...
around here, for sure.
Yeah, Miami as well, and certain metropolitan areas like New York, et cetera. So we'll see how this plays out, but there's a lot of rentals that will be coming on the market. The rental property building business is strong, and it's, you know, it's pretty intense down in Miami, and like I said, by you and New York, all these areas. So there's going to be a lot of inventory in that rental space, and that will probably adjust the housing values a bit. And we'll see how that plays out. Now, there was something that happened I thought was interesting. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal, and it focused on and highlighted a Janet Yellen, the current Fed chief. And it talked about her husband and a whole discussion about her, who her husband is, and this whole kind of nice fluff piece. I'm not exactly.
Who's your husband?
It's Mr. Yellen.
Why do we care?
Why do we care? That's the question. I don't understand. Do you ever remember a story about Bernanke's wife?
He has a wife?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Do you ever see a picture? Do you remember what she looks like?
I'm sure she looks like someone you'd expect to see with a guy like that.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't recall ever a story about his family.
No, I don't either. I don't even know where he lives.
Right, exactly. So I found a picture of his wife, and I gave it to you there. Is that what you expect?
I don't know. I'm not looking her up.
Look it up. I attached it.
Oh, okay. Let me see.
They're holding hands.
Oh, there it is. Bernanke's wife. Huh. That's like a goofball.
All my point here was not to really rag on how she looks or her clothes or her hairstyle or that her glasses are not the anti-reflective, because you can see those reflections in there.
Yeah, it doesn't cost that much to get anti-reflective.
Right, exactly.
Everybody.
Exactly, and maybe she could use a little bit of dental work. Whatever, that's not what I'm talking about. A little bit of chin lift, possibly, a neck tightening, you know. But my point is that, and the schmata that she's wearing.
But I don't want to rag on it, but I'm you're going to go through the laundry list.
No,
said she looked goofy.
Yeah, he looks good. Look at how nice jacket fits very well.
Yeah, because he's not working anymore.
I don't think this is this recent, but nonetheless, the point is... I thought it was really kind of creepy how we had this story that was highlighting, and I was wondering, what is that all about? Is it to try to plug the hole in the idea that, oh, this is a woman, it's the first woman as the Fed chair, and therefore she may be either weak or maybe, you know.
Maybe it's just to show us that she's not a lesbian.
It still doesn't prove it to me. I should have attached a picture of
Rufus. Well, there's that.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's George Akerlof, and he's got a wig on. The guy's a wig guy.
Wait. His name is not Yellen?
No, his name's Akerlof. See, he's the type that wouldn't use the guy's name.
Oh.
He's a Nobel laureate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why they wrote about him, because he's famous. George Akerlof's an American economist and Koshland professor of economics at the University of California, Berkeley.
Ah, there you go.
I should go say hi to him. He won the 2001 Cervantes Rishbank Prize for Economic Sciences in memory of Alfred Nobel. And he is from MIT, Yale, Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences, Guggenheim Fellowship. The guy's famous.
He looks
He's got the cheapest wig. It looks like he could spend a little money on his toupee. And yeah, that's why they wrote about him. It wasn't having anything to do with her.
In some of these images, he looks a bit like a goofy, older rendition of Bill Gates.
Yeah, exactly. He does.
Right?
Yeah. Except Bill has real hair.
But we don't want to rag on him either.
But anyway, yeah, no, that's the reason. That explains it. He's really a super famous guy, and she's a hot shot. So yeah. I would write about it. But meanwhile, Bernanke's wife is just she's not
a housefrau. A housefrau is what you're saying.
She's a housefrau. So who needs to discuss her? Is the way it is in this
all
country.
Right, all right. I got you. I'm with you. So we have a impressive team approach, whereas before Bernanke was going it alone and basically relying on her for laundry and dinner.
I wouldn't put it that way, but probably.
Okay. And we know at this point that she's not.
I have to look her up.
And she's not a lesbian.
Well, yes. I never thought she was. Bernanke wife. Let me just look him up in the wiki. We got here, Bernanke. I don't know if you've noticed.
Anna Friedman.
She might be Anna Friedman. She might be a novelist or something. President office details.
They were married on...
No, nope, Anna Friedman, and she's got... Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
She has no Wikipedia link.
Oh, no.
So her name's not hot linked on this thing. That means she's no Wikipedia mention.
She went to Wellesley.
Oh.
She's born in Rome.
Oh.
Let's see here. 9 days ago, this is 9 days ago, Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, caught a Friday night flight from here. So the economist having an SB took a call from the hotel room from Jean-Claude Richer for a flashback. Hasn't had so much time to reflect. Second term. Okay, let's see.
I'm sure this is fascinating to our listeners.
Oh, this is right. This is what they want. His grandparents. Okay, Bernanke is for, okay. His maternal grandparents, Philip and Edna, where they met. Dillon High School he went to. He played sax.
He played sax?
He scored a near perfect 1590 in his SAT. And won a $500 scholarship and a tour to Europe, thanks to Pan Am.
Here's a goofy picture of him when he was in school.
This can't be right.
He had the same stupid beard and the hair. And his wife, girlfriend, is really pretty back in the day.
This is interesting. Listen to this. This is great. He held summer jobs in hospital construction and at South of the Border, a souvenir hub on Interstate I-95.
Hmm.
He wore his black hair long and eventually adopted a prominent handlebar mustache.
No, I can just see that.
His high school didn't integrate until senior year, but he had black friends, including Kenneth Manning, 6 years older, who was already at Harvard. He lived in Winthrop House, a dorm along the Charles River, when he went to, where did he go? Classmates were Lloyd Blankenfein, now CEO of Goldman. He didn't know him very well. In 1978, he married Anna Friedman, who he met on a blind date, a Wellesley alumni. She had been born in Rome and daughter of a Jewish refugee from Croatia. Grew up in Denver. He turned down Harvard for a job at Stanford's business school. His wife was a Spanish teacher, received a master's in Spanish from Stanford, and recently founded a school for disadvantaged teenagers.
Wow. She's a do-gooder.
And he went to MIT. There you go. I guess it's all about the book coming out. So there you
Whatever.
Go.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Well, we know more than we've ever wanted. We should have analyzed this earlier.
Yeah, we should have really been.
Guys out.
We should have been in on this pretty good. Let's get to the stocks. I'll just mention the Chinese developers have been also having some discussion with their banks, it looks like, and there's all sorts of problems there, and there's some other development going on. But basically, we saw the first bankruptcy or the first default of a bond recently, and a couple of the companies recently have gone out of business. And the real estate market is very choppy there, and there's a curb on property sales, and borrowing costs have surged there, and it's really creating a big problem. And a lot of short sellers are out for blood on the developers.
Interesting.
Let's take a look at the stocks here, which are, of course, just a game that we play, and there's no recommendation to buy or sell any security stocks that were mentioned, maybe owned by myself, clients of Horowitz Company, or John C. Dvorak himself. And we put note that, and this, of course, is just something that we play around with. And if you're going to look at any of these, please seek financial advice that is appropriate from a competent advisor. Thank you. What do you got? Want to go through them?
Well, I'm looking at the thing, and we still have this big red line of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that we're all. And since these are put in here chronologically, we just happened from 11 from 115 to about 212, which was less than a month. We had a losing streak.
Yeah, we sucked. Terrible.
But after that,
yeah, got back on. Get right back on.
Got right back on track with a 27% gain with Opco Health. A 15% gain with your crazy buy short with the Velocity Shares 3X. And then there's one just that hasn't gone anywhere. But the rest of them are all up. Twitter's up as a short. Liquidity Services up. Everything's up. We're rocking the place.
And might I mention, if you look a little bit lower for the stocks that were stopped out, we did get stopped out on Dust, which was in the 219 range. But we made 23% very quickly on Fannie Mae from the 12th, which was last week, and then it was stopped out. And Vapor Company, I should have put a much greater range on that because it stopped out about 16% down. So, but
it's better than being on there.
What I'll mention some stocks I have, but what stocks are you thinking about?
Well, I'm looking at a couple that are, again, I'm using my basic view of the insiders buying a lot of millions of dollars worth of a company. And this one here I want you to look at with me because like the other ones, I'm not jumping in these things. But it seems to me that Jeffrey Smith, who is a large owner of Office Depot, and he's also, I believe, a huge owner of Wausau Paper, he has been buying since March, started in March. He's been buying, let's see, he bought $6 million, $2 million, and $3 million worth of Office Depot.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know what that means. The stock is nicely depressed. It's down at $4.59 a share, which is a nice number. And our local Office Depot has moved to new facilities. And but I don't know that Office Depot. What is that? Why would? The chart. I like the chart.
The chart is basing out right now. Clearly on a daily chart, you're seeing that there's some basing action going on, and it actually had a little bit of a drop down on decent volume, which kind of maybe have exhausted the sellers. Clearly, it's in a downtrend. There's no question about that. But again, you are seeing this basing out right now. And if we look at what we call market profiles that we use, and there's a profile that was built, so there's a level of support there. I mean, it could be that the downstrike that happened here was, and I'm sure it was, really a reaction to many of the store closings for Staples that we saw. Mm-hmm. And many of the other companies that are like a Radio Shack. I mean, I walk into an Office Depot and you could blow a cannon through there and nobody would get hurt. You know, I mean, there's nobody ever there. And why should there be? I mean, right now, the biggest competition is all the online, not only from, you know, other things like Staples and all, but Amazon. I mean, you can go and buy pretty much anything that you'd buy at Office Depot on Amazon.
At Amazon, cheaper, and get it the next day.
Right.
And they actually with better selection because there's a lot of stuff that you just can't get at Office Depot. Certain kinds of ink cartridges for old inkjet printers, for example.
So, and then also you can then also price shop because there's a lot of sellers on possibly on Amazon.
So well, that's what I wanted you to look at this because I don't see it. I mean, July of last year, it was down to $3, $3.50, and then it shot up for some unknown reason to $5.50, $5.75, let's say. And then it drops back down. This guy's buying like crazy. He may just be crazy.
I mean, 439 is your
what would you see? Yeah, I see that. I mean, but what is the upside potential for this stock?
I mean, if it breaks up right now, let me look at this. I got the exact numbers here for you. I mean, you got $5. $5 is your top end here. So you're talking about 10% or 8%.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
That could happen if it does break above the 467.
But why
level.
Would this guy be buying in like this? Does he expect to make $10? I mean,
obviously, it could be looking. Listen, it could be. It's also political. It could be.
Maybe there's something else going on. Maybe there's a buyout deal happening. Maybe there's a merger.
It's possible. I mean, you know, you saw that the OfficeMax Staples thing, you know, coming together. I guess who else would buy them? Maybe. I mean. Could you? I don't think like an Amazon would buy them. I don't know who would buy them.
Well, maybe Amazon would buy them for local delivery because they want to get to that same day delivery.
It could be, and it's very depressed. So it's possible that then they have outlets for and in a way warehouses.
Nobody's buying. This guy is buying and buying. This is like three buys in this month. Substantial buys.
I will tell you that usually insiders will buy for a reason and sell because either they have a plan.
Well, they want the money is what they sell. I don't care about the selling generally. Right. I mean, if I did that, this character. This is actually just a. No, this is not a one guy selling. It's some operation selling $500 million worth of Vantiv Inc.
And that could be just an exchange or merger or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's something else. But this is, I just was fascinated by this. I don't know. I mean, I'll keep an eye on it. I don't want to put it on.
All right. What do you want to put on? Thank you for the stocks that you don't want to put on.
No. You know, I'm looking here and there, and I'm not seeing the activity I like to see for this. I mean, I think I had one in the last show, which I didn't want to do because it's a duplicate of something else similar to what I have already, so I didn't want to do it.
I think the gold stocks are time to possibly look at shorting. Gold is starting to come in a bit. And with the recent rise that we saw with gold and hitting, where's gold right now? Let's see. Gold. It's 1358. It bounced along the support at 1352 today. You know, how much is gold going to go? Well, if the crisis in the areas around the world continue, okay. And if you have some other negative news, but at the same time, the dollar is really coming down pretty hard. It's kind of funny. The dollar has been coming down with the fact that you have the Fed slowing down purchases. It's bizarre, but the dollar really has been depressed this year. When you also see that there is a safe haven flight and it's going to the yen, why anybody would do that, I have no idea, but it's working out. And you would think that gold is going to be a little bit played out here. It has had a beautiful run. The stocks that make money from gold, you know, the various gold companies. I don't know. I kind of looked at a few of them and some of the copper companies. SCCO is one of them as an example. You know, copper really came down hard, and SCCO looks like it has some definite downside. But some of the material companies. The ones I have a short on Sina, which is a Chinese internet company. And this is showing some breakdown signs. Now, historically, what we've been seeing in this recent rally and recent run last year is anytime something breaks down, it just turns around and goes right back up. And it waits for that point.
You're going to short this?
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't do that if it was me thinking because of this Alibaba thing.
What does that have to do with Sina?
Yeah, that's the point. It doesn't really. But what it'll do is it'll get everyone all excited because this Alibaba IPO coming out in the United States is going to be rocking.
Yeah, but what that does is
it's going to take all these other idiots with him.
Although it also takes money out of the other ones because what happens is you have a certain allocation towards, let's call it, internet-related names, right? And so what you want to do is you want to sell some of these and take the money and you reallocate into the ones that are going to move.
Well, that could be.
So the other one I have is, if you take a look at the chart, it's definitely rolling over. It's hitting some support. It was down about 3.5% low today. Again, this is a traditional breakdown point. We'll see if the technicals can really play out here. The other one is Fannie Mae. We made a nice 23.5% to 24% ride on here. It came all the way back down to about $3, down about 18.5% today. Remember that the government is looking to possibly close down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in about 5 years. There's a piece of
What's the symbol on that?
FNMA. The big question is whether or not you're going to see investors get back their money. In other words, if this is shut down, are the common shareholders and the preferred shareholders going to get back any money? They're just going to rip it all out and close this thing down. And if they do, it's a five-year deal, so you have some opportunity there. But, you know, if you look at the history of this, the stock was, I mean, wow, was it a lot higher at one time. Kind of weird that this trades.
Yeah, you talked about this before. This is actually an interesting
We made 24%
interesting
on
speculation.
Yeah.
You're going to put 15% on it, right?
Yeah, 15%. And we're just riding again.
We dropped 18% today. Yeah.
We bought this last time at about 330, closed it at 409 last week, or actually probably on Monday of this week. And then we'll just ride it from the low again, see if it can get some legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one. This is a good one.
So do you want to put Ruth on here?
Ruth?
Yeah, Ruth Chris.
Well, that's your pick, not mine.
No, I'm putting it on there. I mean, you gotta fill this thing up here. Come on now.
Take a look at it.
Why is
1253?
I'm doing the right thing. Do you want
me
to
short it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be. I'm skeptical on that one. Well, although it was as low as $9 in May.
Yep,
last year.
And we're going to say beef prices.
Yeah, no, they'll just raise the price.
Well, you shall see.
It's like Taco Bell. They wouldn't change any prices because they'll just put more of that filler in.
Ugh. Yuck.
Whatever it is.
Whatever that stuff is. It's the bell in the taco.
Yeah.
It's the bell. All right, well, that's about all we have for this week.
All right, we'll make it more exciting next Tuesday.
Yeah, check out the Real Dvorak on Twitter and Andrew Horowitz on Twitter as well. And, of course, make sure to stop by and see all the great work over on, of course, on DH Unplugged, where you can see all of these particular stock listings live and updated all the time. And, of course, check out John's site. John, it is at?
Dvorak.org/blog.
Yep. Why don't you, did I ever ask you, why don't you just do a forward and just make it Dvorak.org?
It is. If you go to Dvorak.org, it does forward.
And why do you get the blog thing going on there?
Because it just forward and takes you to stops and it says, yeah, we're going to forward. You know, it takes too long. It's faster. Type it in yourself.
You don't have just an automatic move?
Yeah, it moves automatically.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But it still has to go through the server.
Oh, I got
it. It takes a couple of clicks. I mean, it takes a minute, second or two.
Okay. I got you. Sorry to bring it up. I didn't want to ruffle your feathers there.
I'm just saying, you know. There's a little message on there.
You can take the message off.
The message is so old.
Take the message off. Have a direct foot move.
It is direct. It's just a message crops up.
Oh, saying it's going to be moving.
Well, there is a faster way to doing it, but...
Yeah, but who wants to mess with that? It would take like 5 minutes to do. I mean, I don't think
it's... fine.
Okay, I like it as a...
/blog.
I'll see you later.
All right, adios. See you on Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.